Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in, my friends, to another edition of Cabale and Mac. Can you hear me? Can you see me? I don't know. Show starts and I just disappear, apparently. I don't know. I don't even know what's going on. Can you hear me, Kaboom?
I can hear you and see you. What's wrong?
Good Lord. The computers have been, the robots are fighting back. They're going to take over eventually. The computers and the robots. I had my issues yesterday. And again, just a second ago, you had your issues this morning getting on. But I know you mean business because you got the bucket hat on. You're ready for training camp. For the heat. Ready for the sun. Let's go.
That sun was killer yesterday. Absolutely killer. So I had to run back home here because, you know, the wrestling practice number day two.
Right.
But I'll be up there tonight, later today. Apparently, 51 shut down, so I'm going to have to find a different route.
You just go up to, you know where Ridge Road is? Go out. People don't want to listen to us talk about local geography.
I know.
Go all the way out past my house to Ridge Road, make a left, take it to 51, go 51 down to 70, okay? There.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Dan Heck team. HeckTeamHomes.com, the key to your next door. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people to get in touch with. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. We're able to do this as often as we do because of the support of them and our other sponsors. And, of course, you guys who put up with all the crap and the nonsense with our technical issues. Thanks anyway. We're up over 2,000 subscribers. All you beautiful friends, yinzers, countrymen all over the world, all over the Stillers Nation that are watching, we appreciate you. When we get 2,500 subscribers on YouTube, we'll give away that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. You can also follow on X. Obviously, a lot of you watching on there. We see the numbers going up every day. Thank you. Thank you. Facebook, TikTok, of course, Instagram, where when we get to 500 followers, we're close, I don't know, somewhere between 250 and 300 followers on Instagram. When we get to 500, we'll give somebody that $100 Yoli's gift certificate. Those Ians that live in the area, you know how good Yoli's is. You get up there with $100 in your hand. That's a meal for the family right there. You get Pappy Nola, which Kaboom loves, and enjoy yourself at Yoli's. So that's up for grabs on Instagram as well. First day of practices in the bank. We'll get to all of it. Rogers, he threw a pick. We'll get to the defense, people moving around. There's some young guys maybe impressing on the first day of camp as well, but we would be remiss, Kaboom, if we didn't start the day talking about what hit the news basically right after we got done yesterday. At 71 years old, Hulk Hogan has passed away. Wrestling, I saw many people say this. You tweeted it out. I saw Triple H tweet it out. A lot of people made the point yesterday, and it's well taken. Professional wrestling, sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it, is not what it is today, a multi-billion dollar industry, if not for Hulk Hogan in the early to really the entire decade of the 80s. And you say whatever you want to say about the guy late in his life and in his career. Wrestling itself, the sports entertainment industry, does not exist as it does today without Hulk Hogan in the 80s.
Yeah, it is absolutely, because if you know anything about it, WrestleMania, what was it, 85 it started. Vince McMahon pretty much pumped everything he had into that. It needed to be a success, and it was mostly a success because of Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, and that got it jump-started from there. That falls flat. Who knows? WWF at the time does not exist, and we could be either not having professional wrestling, or it could be territories, it could be independent shows, it could be whatever. But one thing about the Hulkster was, is he spanned the globe of popularity through the times. When I say this, my kid's a big wrestling guy, 8 years old, and there goes my thing.
Fix your camera. There it is.
And he's 8 years old, right? He was upset. He had his 10-bell salute yesterday.
Yeah.
With his wrestling figures and his cowbell. Now, my grandmother passed away maybe 5 years ago at age 99, and she was a huge Hulk Hogan fan. So when you take that into a span, we're looking like a century of age gap between Hulk Hogan fans and supporters. And for everything Ric Flair has done for the company and Vince McMahon, everybody, he's not what Hulk Hogan was able to bring. Because
I wish I could see your face while you're giving
this. Why did that do that?
Eulogy.
Because he was a true loser here. What is going on here? He was a true American. So let me, give me your god darn thoughts while I figure this out. This is what happens when you blow up your computer.
Yeah. When you blow up your computer and get a new one, nothing wants to work with the new computer. No, there's not much to add except that, like you said, he was a multi-generational star, right? Like, we were kids when Hulk Hogan became famous in the early to mid 80s. We remember him as the, you know, train hard, take your vitamins, say your prayers, Hulk Hogan. The guy that, you know, I was hanging out with some neighbors down the street last night. We were watching, I think it was King of the Ring 93, his last match in WWF before he went off.
You guys know how to really party in your
We do. Wow. Well, you know, it seemed, seemed appropriate. The one where he lost to Yokozuna. Remember Harvey Whippleman up on the apron with the exploding camera?
Did you drink some Great American Beer?
We didn't have any, which is like he was scheduled to be at Duffy's. Remember,
we were going, man. I was waiting in line, baby. I was going.
We were going to go. We were going to get our case of Great American Beer and get it autographed, get a picture with the Hulkster. That got canceled because he had the neck surgery. And then his health deteriorated from there. But no, we had some ice cold Miller Lights, thanks to my neighbor, Dave. But aside from that, at that point, he was on top for 8 years. I mean, think about that relative to what our attention spans are these days. Nobody's on top for more than a year or two. Roman Reigns was on top for 4 years and it was record breaking. Hulk Hogan was the face of wrestling for about a decade, disappeared for like a year and a half, came back, lifted an entire company to relevancy. I also watched the Bash at the Beach 96 last night, the final match anyway, where, of course, he comes as the third man out to join Nash and Hall in the Outsiders and form the NWO. And then he had that whole second act in WCW. And then after Vince bought WCW, he comes back to WWF and has the third run as well, which certainly had its down moments. But I don't know if you can top for anybody, especially anybody who doesn't remember the mid-80s, people a little younger than us, WrestleMania 18 against The Rock. You know, that's three or four generations of wrestling fans who remember him as a top guy and as one of the faces of the industry. There's not people that have that kind of staying power in nearly any walk of life anymore to do it in a business that absolutely brutalizes your body. He didn't have his own knees or hips anymore. I mean,
he had 25 operations over the past 10 years.
Yeah. So I think that's the takeaway is A, we know wrestling isn't what it is today, sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it, without the Hulkster coming around in the 80s and he and Vince pushing it to what it became. But then the staying power that he did have, and you can complain all you want. He didn't like to put people over. He didn't like to do this. It's not going to work for me, brother. Creative control in WCW and the downfall of that. Hey, everybody has their positives and their negatives. The fact that he was at the top as long as he was says a lot. And, man, the 80s are dying off all around us between the Hulkster and Ozzy in the last few days, Theo from the Cosby Show over the weekend. We had Dave Parker last month. We had Norm from Cheers, George Went a couple months ago. All the icons of the 80s are just falling by the wayside.
I'm just saying you're getting old. I mean, I was telling Donnie Football this yesterday, because he's the king of going to weddings. He must have went to 8 weddings this year. I said, before you know it, those weddings will disappear, and you'll find yourself at a lot of funeral homes.
So sad. And well, why are you bringing the mood down?
What I'm saying is I've found myself at many funeral homes since my last wedding. And it's just getting old.
The same buddy who had us at his house last night to watch King of the Ring 93 also made a really somber and interesting point last month when we went out to Arizona together. He said, you know, one of us all of us is going to be at one of our funerals. And it was like, wait, what? He's like,
no. Unless the plane goes down.
But he said, years from now, one of us will be there and the rest of us will be standing around talking about this trip is what he was referencing at the time. It was like, damn, I can't think like that. I can't. That's too much for my brain to wrap around. I need to focus on stuff like football or else I'll go crazy. We'll get into the first training camp practice, acclimation practice in just a second. First, we got to thank our friends at Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com, see what they can do for your yard, whether it's just a little bit in the back corner of the yard where, I don't know, maybe you got a fire pit, you want something nice around there, you got a playground for the kids, you got a pool, you want to do a little area with the beautiful artificial surface they can lay down from Southwest Greens that looks and acts like real grass, or hell, maybe you want to do the whole yard. You want to get crazy. They'll take care of you. You'll have the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of work and maintenance and money put into it. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you. So it was the first official practice of training camp yesterday at St. Vincent College. Kaboom. And I know you love when people do this, when people sit in the stands at Chuck Knoll Field and take their homemade videos from their phones and then post them to the internet, and everybody goes crazy.
They become internet famous.
This is the first pass. Aaron Rodgers is a Steeler at training camp. Ramsey moving all over. Rodgers takes a snap. My little play-by-play here. Oh, it's picked off by Patrick Queen. Oh, my God. What are we going to do, Kaboom? His first pass at training camp was an interception. We joked about this with Jackson Dart yesterday. But Aaron Rodgers didn't seem too concerned about it. And it's going to happen. It's training camp.
How many times do you think that's happened before, but there's no cameras there, you know?
Right.
What makes this an issue is us media people in the, you know, 10 feet in front of him are not permitted to take photos like this. But then you get the people in the stands taking these videos and they become, you know, internet famous for a day or two. ESPN, that's my video. So that just compounds the problem. There's nothing you can really do about it. What are you going to do? Tell people not to pull out their phones? But that's just that part of it. As for the interception, what I was able to talk to Patrick Queen and ask him if, you know, maybe they confuse Aaron Rodgers a little bit on that
right
play, because all you've heard for the past couple of days is how they want to play man, want to play mine, don't want to disguise at all. And that sure looked like a disguise to me, that they were looking like they were playing man, dropped in the coverage. Aaron Rodgers just floated it out there. And Patrick Queen, who's a guy that said he went through all his tape last year and said, I probably should have had 6 interceptions.
Right.
I got to get better at this. And it was also probably a thrill for him, knowing it was his childhood idol throwing him a pick right there. But the thing is that stuff like this happens all the time, but you just don't have video to be able to back it up. Plus, I mean, it's his first throw on his first attempt on his new team, and it's Aaron Rodgers. So I think a lot of us kept it in perspective, even more like, you know what, well, whatever.
My takeaway was, hey, it's great to see Patrick Queen make that play, right? Like, after he was a bit underwhelming last year, and like you said, knew he could have made more plays. Mm-hmm. That was my instant reaction was, oh, that's a nice pick by Queen. For what it's worth, Rodgers was, of course, asked about it yesterday afternoon.
That out the way. It's good to get it out the way. I mean, anybody that's watched me practice over the years, you know, you like to try certain throws at certain times, and anybody that's watched me in the games knows I've been pretty stellar taking care of the football over the years. So there's going to be picks for sure. I'm going to try to fit certain things in. You know, you got to deal with some sweat on the ball from time to time. So it's going to be a good challenge for me throwing this heat every single day. I look forward to it, but I'm going to throw some picks. But I'm going to throw some touchdowns too.
Oh, I like that at the end. I'm going to throw some touchdowns too.
Was he low-key saying Zach Frazier got a sweaty ass?
He low key if you can downplay something, I guess you can upplay something. He low-key upplayed practicing in the late afternoon heat multiple times.
He's like, well, I don't know what Mike's thinking, right?
Yeah.
I say the
Mike
same
likes
thing.
To be out here at the hottest part of the day.
I say the same thing, Aaron. I'm not quite sure. I know why he does it, but I don't think that is doesn't make a difference. How many games do they play in 100-degree heat? I guess it puts stresses them to the point of, you know, when you get stressed, you do things irrationally. So I guess that's his thinking right there. But it was a burner. It was a cooker. No clouds in sight yesterday. But I just like the confidence. And he's right. I mean, you talk about low key. Like, dude, just look at my interceptions.
Yeah,
he's never had more than 13 in a season. He's averages less than a half a interception per game over his career. That's one of the reasons of why they brought him in here, because he can take care of the football. So, you know, he's had interceptions the past 2 years, probably two of his highest.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I'm worried about is Aaron Rodgers is being a turnover machine. I worry about the other stuff, you know, some of the throws or some of the physical demands on his body over a span of 6 months rather than him turning the ball over. I don't think that's going to happen much.
Yeah, I mean, like I said the other day, if he gets to 30 touchdowns and has, you know, 10 or fewer picks, that'll be a stellar season for a 42-year-old quarterback. I mean, we don't see 40-year-old quarterbacks do that, and I think he's capable of that in this offense. And those aren't eye-popping numbers. Those aren't like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow type numbers, but for this offense, it could mean the world to have a guy who's able to throw that many touchdown passes and not turn the ball over. And again, he went 11 years in a row with single digit interceptions. Mm-hmm. So the track record is not of a gunslinger mentality who's just going to throw the ball all over the field. It's a guy who is going to put the ball where it needs to be more often than not. I do wonder, with age, like you said, does it make it harder to fit the ball into those spots that you used to trust your arm to be able to get it into? And does that make you more liable to some of those picks, like the 12 he had the last year in Green Bay, the 11 last year with the Jets? And is that a sign of, you know, a 40-year-old quarterback looking like a 40-year-old quarterback? But that's not the chief concern I have with Rodgers, is turning the ball over.
No, I mean, you weren't able to see any of that yesterday in the first walkthrough. It was 90 minutes, basically glorified walkthrough, because they kept the ball for the most part underneath. They'll gradually build up the different throws where you'd be able to get a better feel of how he is in team situations, team periods, and throwing the ball further down the field than, you know, a 7 yard out to Scotty Miller. But all eyes are on Aaron Rodgers. It's just going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, that scrum around him yesterday was 50 deep, and it's he's a guy people want to see. For the most part, I believe want to see fell.
Well, he said it yesterday. It's not just the sports media that are assembled around the place. It's TMZ hanging out on the hillside trying to catch glimpses of him, right? I thought the story about somebody asked him what he did between mini camp and training camp. And the story about, I just kind of hung out. I worked out, went to Tahoe for a week, hung out with my dog on the beach and dodged TMZ, and then had the guys out. Calvin Austin had never seen the ocean before. One of the
kind of hard to believe. Didn't he grow up in like Memphis or something? I mean, it's not that far.
It's nowhere near the ocean.
Well, it's not that far of a drive, just a drive to Atlanta, to the East Coast, to Myrtle Beach or something. It can't be more than 6-7 hours, right?
Are you kidding me?
From Memphis?
From Memphis, Tennessee to Myrtle Beach. You want me to map it right now? You really want me to do this?
I'm going to guess
it's 15 hours.
No way.
All right, let's do it. I'm doing it right now. I'm on Google Maps. I'm looking it up. 12 and a half. So I overshot it, but you were a little shy there too. 12 and a half hours from Memphis to Myrtle Beach. Now, I guess if they wanted to go down to like Mobile or Destin or something, technically that's the Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America, you could get to a big body of water. But, I mean, it's not hard to believe that Calvin Austin never saw the ocean before.
I think a professional football player who he played in L.A. last year or 2 years ago that never saw a body of water like that. I just
get off Calvin Austin's face. You're the guy that loves him this year.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just – I find that hard to believe that – I mean, in a way, I mean, I've only been to the ocean two or three times. I was probably – 16 before I first saw, but I wasn't also a professional football player either. Went to Mobile, Alabama the Senior Bowl.
You know what I want to know? I want to know who the guy was, and Rodgers didn't want to throw him under the bus. I want to know who the guy was that when they saw the Dolphins jumping out of the water while they were sitting at Nobu having dinner, I want to know who the guy was that asked if they pay the Dolphins to do that.
I wish it would be Skowronek, but I don't think that would be him.
No, you're frozen. By the way, you've just stopped moving. It's just a still shot of you in your bucket hat now.
Can you hear me though?
I can hear you just fine.
What in the world is going on with this planet, man?
Your new computer is worse than your old computer, dude.
Am I still?
Now you're there. You are. Jesus, we're a disaster. This is why I seriously thank all of the wonderful people that support this show, because you put up with our BS, like the videos yesterday.
Compared to your problems.
Whoa, pal.
You were doing like voiceover of a voiceover of a voiceover, and that's what you do for a living, for God's sakes.
Listen, a couple of snafus with some videos is nothing compared to busting up three laptops in a row.
Hey, speaking of that, how's the old washer and dryer?
They're beautiful. They brought them in yesterday. They look great. We've already done like four loads of laundry. My wife is going nuts.
We, you mean her.
I put some stuff in the washer last night, and I have moved stuff from the washer to the dryer a couple times, okay? But I had to pack like 3 days ahead of time last night so we'd know if we had to pay for bags or not, which is, don't even get me started on that.
You got the scale thing that you lift up?
No, I didn't do the scale, but like I was going to fit everything in a carry-on, so we didn't have to pay for a fourth checked bag with this cheap-ass airline that will remain nameless, but it rhymes with Bajigent. And so I had to figure out if I had to pack into a larger bag or not, which I did, because I wanted. There's no laundry for a week.
I guarantee you overpack. Every time we go somewhere and the wife overpacks something massively. I'm like, this is a huge bag to go to 2 days to Hershey.
Yeah, my wife does the same thing. I usually
like a Giant Eagle bag here.
Yeah, I like to fit in a backpack or a small carry-on. I couldn't do it because it's a week with no laundry. So anyway, I'm going to quit my bitching. Are you ready for it? You might have to dodge some thunderstorms this afternoon too, big guy.
As Tomlin once famously said, 2 years ago, you're going to try to get out ahead of Doppler.
Did you get that hat from Rosie Nick? Somebody wants to know.
I got that hat, 2017 Pro Bowl. The Steelers' entire coaching staff was there, and about nine Steelers were there. So apparently they gave our great buddy Patrick Noon, the equipment manager, boxes and boxes of stuff. And he didn't know what to do with it, so he just gave me one of these hats. He actually mentioned it yesterday while I wasn't wearing my bucket hat. A nice little AFC one, you know.
Well, you'll be. It looks good on you. Little Pro Bowl logo on the back.
See, I never. Yeah. There was a little, you know, the old string that goes down, but I took it off. It's a little too
Why'd
tight.
Why'd you take it off? Oh, left came down around the neck.
You think I'd do the Gilligan Island? The old Gilligan look?
Yeah, you look good like that. Good work by you. I did want to play one more clip from Rodgers because it's making the rounds on national media today. And it's just interesting. I mean, this is probably just lip service and something you want your starting quarterback to say at the beginning of camp. I don't know how else he was going to answer this question, but he was asked about the team being Super Bowl contender.
Most of the 32 teams would probably say something to that accord at this time of the year. But I think that, you know, there's really only 6 to 8 they really have a legitimate chance. Sometimes it's 10 to 12, and there's teams that surprise you. But I would say on paper, we're probably one of those 10 to 12.
Okay. On paper. We've talked about on paper. It looks good what they've done, right? Like the assortment of names, the new talent that they've brought in. and now it's about putting it together. If they put it all together, and like I said the other day, if Rodgers plays up to his capabilities at the age of 42, I tend to agree with him that they're on the fringes of that 10 to 12 conversation, right? Like they're a playoff team. But I don't know, even if everything goes right, I don't know if they're one of the top 6 to 8 teams that he referenced there. And if anything should go wrong at any point, like an extended absence for a key player, again, there are a couple spots on this team where they're a little thin. Like even to start camp without Sayamalu, I know it's just a minor thing, but when you need your offensive line to gel together as a group of five, any little thing can send this into a tailspin.
What do you think the Chiefs would be without Mahomes? What do you think the Bills would be without Allen? I know these are quarterbacks, but what do you think? I can't say the Browns. Who's another contender in the East?
Or Bengals?
AFC. I mean, if the Bengals miss a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, where are you at? I mean, you could pretty much pick and choose whoever you want and say that if this guy's missing, they're in trouble. So Steelers just might have more of those guys.
I think that's my point, is like it feels like I don't want to call it a top-heavy roster, but it is. It's a top-heavy roster. I do want to say that, actually. It's a top-heavy roster where if any of the – what do we got? Maybe half a dozen pieces at the top of the pyramid. If any one of them misses any time, that's obviously – like you said, anybody misses an important piece. It's a big deal for a team that sees themselves as a playoff team or a contender. But more importantly, there's just not as much supporting – it's almost like an inverted pyramid, right, where – if a major offensive line piece should be out for a while, okay, well, now Rodgers is going to suffer. The run game is going to suffer. If the defensive line isn't any better than it was last year, well, now the whole defense is going to fall down just a little bit. If you want your team to be built like a pyramid with one superstar at the top, a couple supporting stars, and then everybody else builds it out underneath for a strong foundation, it does feel this might be the one criticism you could have of the personnel they put together this offseason, an inverted pyramid where you got a ton of stars at the top, and that's great, but how strong is the foundation underneath, because they are trying to build up that foundation
stuff. I mean, you got running back that seems like it's in pretty good hands, right? Even quarterback. I mean, Mason Rudolph looks good. I'm sorry to admit that. He looked solid yesterday. I know you guys hate that.
I love it.
Outside rush linebackers, man, they're deep there. Their corners are deep too. So there's certain positions. And I know people love to hammer offensive line. They don't have depth there. You know why you don't have depth at offensive line? Because if you're any good, you're a starting guy making a lot of money somewhere else. Not a lot of teams, if any teams, have quality depth on the offensive line. You have to have those guys that you develop and hope come along. Because if you want to keep a guy around like Dan Moore, Dan Moore's getting $82 million. You're not keeping those guys. So that's why there's no depth there or quality depth. Because if there's anybody worth a damn, he'd be starting somewhere else. So we put a lot of emphasis on the depth of the offensive line. I just think nobody has depth at the offensive line. Very few.
I mean,
you look at the Eagles, and the Eagles usually have guys that they drafted, then developed them ready to go. It's not to find somebody.
To the point we've made all summer, like they're traveling down that path, right? Like they've gone out and drafted the offensive linemen, 4 young guys on the offensive line that they really believe in Frazier, McCormick, Fautanu, and Jones, who the jury is still out on. And yeah, I get it. At a certain point, if those guys are good, you're going to have to pay them, and you probably don't keep all of them. But if you can keep 1 or 2 of them around, you know, that's how you build that foundation. They're just still at the point where they're trying to figure out, okay, are all 4 of these guys definitely a part of the foundation? If they do come together this year, though, it's your opportunity to capitalize on them while they're still young and affordable.
Yeah. I mean, although you look when the Steelers were good, their offensive line, they held on to them for 6-7 years, right?
Yeah.
Gilbert, DeCastro, Pouncey, Fosters. Who am I missing here?
Well, there was it was that group of four: Villanueva, DeCastro, Pouncey, and Foster, and then you had Marcus Gilbert for
a
while.
They were able to keep a hold of those guys. That's why they. That's why their offense was good, because they were able to keep those guys together, which is unheard of. You normally never see it as the same unit together as long as those five were together. And I'm actually throwing Villanueva in there in that span. So I think you can look at it and say Spencer Anderson's one of those guys. He got first team reps yesterday because Sam Wall was out. They drafted him low, developed him, felt comfortable enough to start him last year. Is he great? No, but he's above average. Ryan McCollum showed he can fit in a couple games last year. So, and Kelvin Anderson is a crafty veteran, smart guy, veteran. So I don't think the depth on the offensive line is as bad as some may think, just because you don't.
Okay. One more.
It might not be great, but it's not terrible.
A couple more quick offensive notes before we pivot to the other side of the ball. I couldn't hear what Mike Tomlin said about Jonnu Smith being out. I know it wasn't heat related yesterday, but he didn't practice yesterday. I heard. It sounds like Caleb Johnson looked really good in his first practice.
Yeah, Caleb Johnson. I mean, it's tough because there was no hitting.
Right.
So, but what did you notice? What I noticed from him is how he gets up the maximum speed in a hurry. And there's no, I mean, maybe it's just comparing him to Najee, how Najee had to get the lumbering mode going before he could go. Caleb Johnson, 0 to 100, pretty darn quick right now. And you saw it on at least one play. A couple other plays, it was hard to tell because it looks like Deshaun Elliott could have tackled him on
right
there. But, you know, you can't deny what Jaylen Warren's able to do too. So I think they're in good spot. Eventually, I think Caleb Johnson will be that 1,000-1,200-yard rusher. Maybe not this year, but he can see the talent. You can see the talent. You can see the body lean. You can see the speed. You can see the explosiveness. Maybe he can't catch the ball as well as, you know, some you'd like to, but you don't need him to catch the ball. So he did have a good start. I can't wait to see him because I think on Tuesday when they do back on backers, because apparently he wants to be number one up. And I think Mike Tomlin is going to oblige with Mark Robinson on the other side.
So, okay. That could be fun to watch on Tuesday. I think he takes over as the lead back. I mean, probably in the first third of the season or so, like right around the bye week.
I would not sell Jaylen Warren short quite.
I'm not selling Jaylen Warren short. I just think Jaylen Warren's very good at what he does, right? He's got that bowling ball.
He got some motor too, man.
He does. But I think all the reviews of Caleb Johnson to this point are he's got a lot of the abilities that Najee had, but like you said, steps on the gas a whole lot harder. And so
quicker. And you need that. In this offense, the one cut outside zone, reach block, you got to be decisive and you got to hit it quick. And it looks like, I mean, I know it's his first day of practice and all that crap, but it looks like he's has that ability.
What about Jonnu? There's nothing to be concerned about there, right?
I thought it was heat related, heat acclimation, but then I'm like, wait a second. Jalen Ramsey's out here, so that does not make any sense whatsoever. It just might be. A lot of times they'd be a little bit careful if a guy got a little twinge early when he was working out, so they can put him on the PUP list if necessary, if something gets out of control. I wouldn't worry about his availability too much. Yeah, I mean, I tell you one thing is, I know this has just been cliche over the years, but Arthur Smith's going to use tight ends this year a lot.
Yeah, I think
a lot.
I think I was reading your recap from practice, and was it Mason that threaded one?
Oh, right to Darnell.
Down the middle to Darnell.
He beat Cole Holcomb. He did. He had the deep high safety and a trailing linebacker, and he just put it on the money. Once it's 7-on-7, but and it was one of the few throws down the field. But Darnell Washington, not even that. You even got guys like J.J. Galbraith coming up and, like, keeping an eye on this guy. I mean, I don't know where he would fit in that. He'd be a practice squad guy, but keep an eye on this guy. He's looking pretty good as well. But not only that, just how you saw them, how they want to go about their business. It's just not a cliche if he wants to use the tight ends.
No, he's going to use
it. And Freiermuth even said, I was talking to him, and he's like, you know, I'm more of a choice route, get open guy, and John, who's more of a splash player, so we complement each other extremely well. So that's their plan.
It's going to be hot out there in Latrobe today. You see Kaboom with the bucket hat on, getting prepared. If it's hot in the house for you, I mean, it's time to call Impact HVAC. If the AC isn't doing in your house what it's supposed to be doing, maybe not running at peak capacity, maybe not running at all, and you're sitting inside, all the windows open, you got the fans, and you're dying, call Impact HVAC today, 412-297-1852. Or check them out on Facebook, Impact HVAC PGH. They'll get out there, take a look at your system, see what's working, what isn't working, tell you exactly what needs to be done. Maybe it's just a little tune-up. Maybe it's some maintenance that needs to be taken care of. Maybe it's a total repair or replacement of your system. Whatever it is, trust them to take care of it. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or 412-297-1852. How old were you, Kaboom, when you moved into a place with whole house air conditioning for the first time?
Growing up, no.
Right.
I had the growing up, you know, I had the old school box fan in the window.
Uh-huh.
And you would like try to cool the room off, and you'd come back later in the day and the entire house would be filled with bugs.
Yeah.
Oh, that annoyed the living hell out of me.
I just remember living in an apartment. It was just me and my mom in Carrick. It was my senior year of high school. So I didn't have to go to Carrick. We still had a Baldwin address on file with the school. And it was just, it was like an oven in there, man. No AC. You got, like I said, you got three fans in the living room. You got two in the bedroom. You're trying to, and you're just laying there sweaty all night, waking up every 15 minutes because you're hot. It's the worst.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Where did I move there? I moved from there to... Probably about 27.
And now you got whole house air?
Yeah, now everybody pretty much has that.
Yeah, right? Now it's like standard. I don't know anybody. Yeah. I mean,
some box air conditioners out there. I think my mom.
There's a certain smell to those, by the way, that still reminds me of my grandmother's house.
I like the ones now that are indoor and you just put the hose out. You ever see those ones?
No.
It's like you don't have to put them in the window. It's just like a unit on the floor.
Oh, really? But you got to run a hose out because of the condensation.
It's like a little. It's like a little hose. It's not like that bad. But that would have been great. But those damn bugs. They're like little green bugs, all moss. Like, it's just awful.
Had to kill a moth last night. I hate when those. You let the dog out and the bugs instantly come in. The defense. Mike Tomlin. I think you called it his shiny new toy. His favorite thing about this defense is undoubtedly Jalen Ramsey.
Today, when you guys first came out, is that something we should read into on day one or not just yet?
You're going to do it anyway. So have at it, man. But get your cameras ready. You're going to see him in a lot of places.
You're going to see Jalen Ramsey in a lot of places, Mike Tomlin says. Mm-hmm. And he lined up as a single high safety, like three out of the first four plays yesterday. You saw him moving around and moving to the slot. What is the – I know base defense would have, I guess, a third defensive lineman on the field, but that's not really their base defense anymore. Their base defense is more like two backers and TJ and Highsmith on the edges. And I guess Cam and Keanu Benton in the middle. What is the base defense going to look like? I know Mike Tomlin wants everybody to be talking about where's Ramsey going to be, but who's going to actually be on the field? Who are the 11 guys?
I think you're going to see a lot less more base defense. A lot less. I think their plan. It's early on and it's hard to determine if they're just trying things out or what they're doing is it seems like to me the reason why they're not moving on a free safety, because I don't know if Juan Thornhill is going to be playing much more than in the nickel formation as that nickel safety. I think what they want to do is have the four defensive linemen, whatever, two edge rushers. They can have Elliott as the box safety and have Jalen Ramsey as the wild card, which means he can go from flip from one side to another, match up where he wants to be. So I think in lieu of the free safety, I think you're going to have Jalen Ramsey just playing a multitude of different roles, sort of like how, who I did see yesterday, Troy Polamalu, a free, not almost a freelancer, but a guy that can move around a lot. Stuff that we thought Minka should do, but we're doing, they might want to do that with a more talented ball hawking guy like Jalen Ramsey. So I wouldn't be surprised if you know, we talk about the defensive line. Maybe it's only Hayward and Benton. Maybe it's then Benton and Harmon. Maybe you don't use those three guys in the same
spot
all the time. Of course, you're going to use them all together in certain situations. So that's what it looks like that plan might be. I mean, we'll have to see more practice to see what that is going to be. But I don't know the reason why they're not interested in the free safety, because I don't know they're interested in playing the free safety in the traditional position as much.
Well, it sounds like there will be one guy back there playing center field, but I kind of theorized about this yesterday or a couple of days ago. I can't remember anymore. It's all a blur. It might be Deshaun Elliott back there sometimes. Yeah. I get the feeling. And Ramsey might be more like you made the comparison, and not obviously it's not apples to apples, but to Troy Polamalu, like if Ramsey is just moving around the formation from play to play, and like you said, freelancing a little bit, but you know, he's been known, like he said the other day, to just follow a guy around. Yeah. So if another team's number one target is moving all over the formation, why shouldn't you have your number one coverage guy moving all over the formation? You play a single high safety because you trust your guys on the outside to play man. Okay. Well, that really does change how the defense functions and starts to open things up for guys getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, if you're having offense come out there in a certain formation and you got three corners out there, maybe Ramsey goes, oh, I better drop back to be the deep safety on this play because they're in this formation. Maybe if they go, you know, 2x2 or 2x1, his guy goes in motion. You pass him off to a linebacker. Now I'm blitzing, man. I'm coming right now from the corner on this side. I think it just gives him a many more options. I think Minka could have done that, but we're talking Minka Fitzpatrick compared to Jalen Ramsey. You talk about apples and oranges in terms of what you're capable of doing. So that's why I think they were just fine, not fine, but they didn't have to get their arm twisted to get rid of Minka Fitzpatrick, because they knew this guy was going to fill a role of multitude of different players. And that's what it looks like right now. I mean, well,
and it, I guess if you're worried about Juan Thornhill getting overexposed, this would sort of calm those fears a little bit, because
he's going to be, when he plays, he's going to be the deep high safety. Don't let him get by me.
I don't want to say he's not going to be out there much, because he will be, but like if they're going to have four defensive backs on the field, if they're only going to have four, the four are going to be Slay, Ramsey, Porter, and Elliott, I would think. And when they add a fifth, okay, Thornhill maybe comes in on the few occasions where he does. Maybe he's playing single high. Maybe they play too high even in some of those situations and still play man underneath of it. But I just don't think I think kind of like Mike Tomlin said the other day in his first press conference at camp, where he said, we just look at them as coverage guys. There are four coverage guys they are sold on. They like Thornhill. And then it's kind of everybody else after those five. You'll get in on rotation maybe, but Ramsey's not leaving the field, and Porter and Slay aren't going to leave the field very often either.
I don't think so. I think that's the plan. The question is are you wasting maybe Jalen Ramsey's biggest talent? And that would be shutting down Jamar Chase.
Going not if you have him follow Chase all over the field.
Well, then that exposes you differently of what you're showing so far of a guy that's, you know, play multiple positions on the field if you need him a strong safety. I guess that would be all game plan centric right now. But I think when they play the Bengals, I don't think they would hesitate one bit lining up their three safety, their three corners, coverage corners, and man against their three, I don't think he would bat an eyelash.
Right. But there are going to be times you play a team, I don't know, maybe Seattle's an example in week two, where do you need Jalen Ramsey to follow Jaxon Smith-Njigba all over the field? Probably not necessarily. You could probably then scheme things a little bit differently. Do you need him to follow Cooper Kupp? No, probably not. Now, to your point, when you play the Bengals, okay, yeah, they've got Ja'Marr Chase. You want to lock him down. You send Ramsey all over the field with him. But when you play Baltimore, for example, does he need to follow Zay Flowers all over the field? I don't know if he does. And so it gives you the ability to present some different looks when you don't feel like the opposition, like you said, it's game plan specific. When you don't feel like the opposition has a clear number one guy that can just absolutely beat you all over the field.
Yeah. I think what's interesting is now I think Mike Tomlin is willing to say, okay, Carroll Austin and guys, you come up with the plan now. I gave you the groceries.
Right.
Now these three guys, I don't want off the field very much at all. Now make it work. And that's what it sounds like the plan they have right now, at least Tom. I'm sure he'll butt in from time to time because that's just his personality.
Mm-hmm.
But if the number one rule is I want these guys on the field of all times, you can be creative. I mean, you can be creative. I mean, even when you throw Beanie Bishop, where's he fit in at now? Brandon Echols, where does he fit in now? Corey Trice, where does he fit in now?
So here's my one concern about having as many moving pieces, because you wrote about it too. By the way, Kaboom does a great job covering camp. Nobody covers camp like Kabali, and he's going to write about it, I would guess, every single day. So go check out the stuff on Twitter. He's writing for McAfee at Mark Kabali on X. What?
You going unless I pass out, by the way, you're going to.
Yeah, well, that's why you got the bucket hat.
You bringing the old laptop to the foreign country you're going to on vacation just to keep up on everything?
No, it's vacation, man.
I guarantee
I'm not doing shows on vacation.
No, I'm just saying, I guarantee
I'm not taking
laptop. I bet you do.
No, I'm not taking my laptop on vacation. Are you nuts? If I need to do anything, I'll do it on my phone.
You're going to bring it on. How about if there's an emergency podcast?
If there's an emergency.
Aaron Rodgers comes up to me and says, hey, I want to be on your podcast on Thursday.
Then you call me. I'll find a spot with Wi-Fi, and we'll do it on the phone. Okay? Okay?
Yeah, better be safe than sorry.
I'm not taking the best a laptop.
What is that? Your best ability is your availability?
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I'll have my phone.
I think we're okay with the Aaron thing. So,
you think?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be.
Did you ask him yet?
Yes. I don't got that kind of cash to lure him.
Just tell him it's a one-off. We'll do it. You just come on and I don't know.
Dude, that he's like the Beatles up there, man.
And
one of the funnier things is DK Metcalf says, man, these fans are crazy. They were pushing against the fence to get autographs. He goes, there's had to be 3,000-4,000 people here. I've never seen that many people. I said, there was barely anybody there yesterday. Wait till there's actually people here.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The videos of them walking down the steps and down the hill to the fields and just the atmosphere. If you're a guy who comes from an organization that maybe has never gone away to camp or had fans in for training camp practices, I don't want to say it's going to blow your mind, but it's completely different, man. It's like if you've played for, I don't know, who's somebody that's played for a team that never goes away to camp. Like if you're Robert Woods, has he been on a team that goes away to camp? Maybe, but like to walk down the hill like that and have a few thousand screaming people, like DK said, pushing against a temporary fence just to try and get your autograph or high five you.
Oh, they shove too. There's little kids there. They're shoving them. You know, my favorite are the people. Well, there was two favorites yesterday, a person that's carrying a pylon around.
What?
Let me go buy a pylon.
What, like an orange?
Yeah. And the number two one was a guy that was getting all the Steelers autographs on a Franco Harris jersey.
Why? Why?
I don't know. he looked like a poor man's George Kittle, so I just stayed away.
Yeah, it's just got to be, it does have to be kind of strange if you're not used to it to walk out into that atmosphere.
Wait till this weekend when there's 12,000 people there. There might have been 3,000 people. There was nobody there. And I would, that's crazy because it was hot as hell out there. So, plus it was a Thursday. Wait till there's actually people there.
Yeah, it's going to be bananas. And some of those guys probably haven't seen something like that before. There was a good point made in the chat that I want to bring up. That I was thinking myself as well, not as it relates directly to Minka. Vegas TJG said Minka was the quarterback on D and they still had all sorts of miscommunication issues late in the season, year after year. It doesn't have to do with Minka. It just goes back to all the moving pieces. Like if you're making reads on where guys are going to go a split second before the snap of the ball, there's those miscommunication issues that have plagued this defense over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, we're still going to see them from time to time. I mean, it's hard to believe they would be flawless in that regard if you're moving that many pieces around.
Yeah. I see with Minka, is he the quarterback? Maybe the cornerback of the back half, but then you got right. Queen, you got Hayward, you got some veterans that don't really need direction, right? You wouldn't think that they need that much direction. So there was something going on communication-wise. I don't know whose fault it was. So I'm not going to sit here and say it's Minka's fault, but it just kept popping up from time to time. So,
well, and I'm not even here to, like, place blame on specific people for miscommunication issues. But, you know, when you have 11 guys out there and 3 or 4 of them are doing something different, especially coverage-wise, dependent upon how one guy adjusts to one thing he sees. And I understand it's part of football at the NFL level, but it's going to create those issues. And the more you move guys around, like you pointed out, TJ was moving around a little bit. I don't think that's as impactful in that regard, especially as coverage is concerned. But when you have Ramsey moving all over the place, and all of a sudden there's a motion at the last second. What NFL offense doesn't like to have some motion right before the snap in this day and age? It's going to create those issues where, like I said, more people moving around means more possibility for those miscommunications. That is something I'll have an eye out for.
You got some veterans out there. I mean, if you're doing a last minute shift from one side to another and they're going to say Highsmith spot, I think he's bright enough to know that what his responsibility is. There's not a lot of young, inexperienced guys. I guess Peyton Wilson could be one. I guess obviously Harmon's other, but pretty much these guys should know. I mean, they should know before it even happens that what their responsibility is. I don't think they need somebody to come and say, point this out to them. They're professionals making tons of money. So, but it's been an issue. Boy, everybody wants my Pro Bowl bucket hat.
It's pretty.
Maybe good. I should sign it and give it away.
You got to get away to if you're going to flip the front up to get it to stay like that.
It keeps popping down.
Yeah, you got to take care of that, especially if you're going to. Well, but you want to keep the sun off your face this afternoon. So what are you going to do?
That's a good question.
You got a lot of issues to figure out here.
No, the issue is it's OTA number 9 up there today is what the issue's been.
You'd love to get like a big old thunderstorm right around 1:45, wouldn't you? So there's no practice today.
I don't know, about half hour in. That would be the best, about 2:30. Then he'd be like, okay, we're done.
Bag it.
He didn't get out for a Doppler.
Get out for a Doppler. That's such a Tomlin phrase. That's fantastic.
He got out in front of Doppler.
Who got out in front of Doppler?
There's a couple times they got out in front of Doppler and moved it from like 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning. One of them was the infamous day that Phil handed me my first hoagie pocket. Oh, wait, pocket hoagie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to do with this? It's like 10 in the morning. So I just put it in my pocket. That was getting out ahead of Doppler.
Walked around with a pocket heater all day.
Oh, it kept it warm.
Fair. Okay, that's going to do it for today. OTA number 9, as Kaboom calls it, training camp practice number 2 will go down later this afternoon. Do you have any interest in doing this tomorrow, even though it's a weekend, before I got to get out of town for a few days?
I don't know about interest, but you know, whatever the fans want, right?
Okay, let's
taking the most improper timed, ill-timed vacation.
This thing was booked 11 months ago, man. I got no control over it. I go on vacation when the wife tells me to go on vacation, okay?
I'm guessing you didn't have your say-so on what type of washer and dryer you got.
Nope. I'm just along for the ride, my man. I'm just along for the ride.
Did they remove them too? Did they remove the washer and dryer?
Yeah, they took the old ones out.
I know.
What? That's part of the gig, man.
I don't know how that works, man.
That's exactly how it works, and now you know.
What do they do with it? They probably scrap it for a couple bucks. They'd probably
sell it to Daniels, and they sell them. I don't know. Who knows? There's all kinds of places that sell those beat up old washers and dryers and appliances.
Yeah, I think we need to get Voss on board here. Why don't you get on that?
I'll talk to him. I'll see what we can make happen. You do the same with Archie. And we'll get things lit up.
Why do you get the washer and dryer and I get the wings?
I mean, I'll be honest. I like wings a lot better than washers and dryers. So you might have the better half of that deal.
Last night, I had some Dino wings.
They good?
They're no Arch, but they're good. Well,
who is, really? Who is? So let's make a deal. If they practice this afternoon, we'll do one tomorrow morning. Sound good? If they don't practice because there's rain or whatever, then we'll take tomorrow off and I'll take the phone just in case there's an emergency podcast to do from the Dominican Sunday? Beach. What?
You leave Sunday.
Sunday, yeah, 7 a.m., bud.
They opened the new airport yet? Or
no, I heard on the radio the other day they're like 92% complete.
Yeah, that's not going to create any issues.
What's going to hopefully it should reduce.
Okay, you go to the new airport. Do you have any clue where to go? I've been going to the same terminal, the same thing, the same everything. Now all of a sudden it changes. Oh, I don't like change.
Montana wants to know where I got the hat. I found it on Instagram after I saw Donnie Football wearing one at work.
Is it really a WWF one, or is it the Worldwide Federation, whatever it is? The wildlife.
Is that what's that look like? A moment. Well, does that look like the World Wildlife Fund, or does that look like?
I don't know. I just see a WWF. I don't know what the hell it is.
So, do you have a Chiefs hat on, as somebody claimed earlier, or is that just an AFC Pro Bowl bucket hat?
Bought a panda hat because it looks like a WWF hat.
Okay, we've gone too far.
Speaking of that, I'm going back to. You can't see me.
Back to the Cena. Okay. That's going to do it. Do you see,
Rick? I don't know.
Do you see a panda kaboom? Where's the panda on that?
I want to see a really crappy looking poster or two, but
what are you talking? Hey, that is the 1979 Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't you dare talk shit on them. And that, my friend, is the 1991 Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins.
Speaking of that, why don't you open it up and let's see your furnace?
No, there's a bunch of suitcases out there right now because we're getting ready to leave. See all the suitcases out there? Can you see them?
Yeah. I still can't process that in my head.
I know. It's really hard for you. And then I got my Hulkamania autographed Hulkamania bandana back there that my neighbor Dave got me a couple weeks ago. Look at that. That's worth millions now. RIP, Hulkster. All right, that's going to do it for today. If the Steelers practice this afternoon, we'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks to everybody for putting up with our technical issues as usual. You wouldn't have it any other way, right? And don't forget to follow on Facebook, TikTok, X, and of course on Instagram for a chance to win that Yoli's gift certificate, $100 right there if you're one of the first 500 Instagram followers. And that Paul Skeens baseball still waiting for you. You still got a chance if you're one of the first 2,500 subscribers on YouTube. Thanks again to the Dan Heck team. That's going to do it for today here on Cabali and Mac. See you.